This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's talk more about the Cavaliers, and we bring in Mike Zavagno, and he is from Fear the Sword. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, pleasure to have you on the show. We're excited to talk to you. First of all, your thoughts on the Cavaliers, and Kevin gets hurt again last night. And I mean, they just laid an egg in Miami last night.
Yeah, I mean, as you can see, you know, Kevin Love, pretty important to this team. After he came back, they were obviously 4-0. Everything was clicking on the offensive end. You hate to see him go down so early in the game yesterday. But, you know, Miami has obviously been kind of a house of horrors for this team, seeing that they haven't won there since 2010. So kind of what you would expect with them going down there, even though it's obviously not the result you want given how close the playoffs are.
The way the team has played offensively with Kevin in there, Mike, might have been a little bit of a surprise to folks, because I think a lot of folks thought there might be a major transition period, you know, with Kevin coming in and not having played with the new guys, and that didn't seem to be the case. Were you impressed at the way it all meshed, or what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I was pretty excited just watching them play offensively once Kevin Love returned. I mean, obviously he's slated right in there as that second option, which we saw him be that guy for the start of the season, but then once Isaiah Thomas came back, you know, he kind of struggled to get involved with Isaiah having the ball so much. So it was nice to see him come in and immediately be that second guy. His jump shot looked excellent. He was 10 of 15 going into last night's game on three-pointers from 25 feet or more. So you could see him spotting up further behind the arc, which is something that we really didn't see earlier this year. And then I think that, you know, Kevin Love coming back was extremely helpful for a guy like George Hill. I think that Hill, when he's asked to be that second option with the starting unit, is kind of overmatched. But once you put him in that third option role, especially with Love spacing, you see him be a lot more aggressive. I mean, he had that excellent game against Toronto where he scored 22 points on 10 of 11 shooting. And then, you know, he was really key to kind of the comeback down the stretch against Brooklyn as well, with him and LeBron running that pick and roll on the left side and surrounded by the three shooters in Hood, Clarkson, and Love.
What do you think the rotation should look like going into the playoffs, and who's going to end up sitting out?
Yeah, I think that that's one of the largest questions facing this team right now. You know, given the fact that Kyle Korver still hasn't returned, obviously Love has been in and out of the lineup, and kind of Larry Nance as well. My personal opinion is that the starting lineup should be George Hill, Rodney Hood, LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Larry Nance. Kyle Korver kind of as your sixth man. And I think that off the bench, you're obviously looking at Clarkson for those backup point guard minutes, as well as I think Tristan Thompson in the backup center role. But outside of those three guys, I think that that ninth man, whether it's going to be Jeff Green or J.R. Smith or maybe even Chetty Osmond, depending on, you know, how things go with his health, I think that a lot of that is just going to be matchup dependent, you know, whether they face Washington or Indiana in the first round and then Boston or Toronto going forward. I think that you can kind of adjust your rotations based on who those teams are putting out on the floor.
Mike Zavagno joining us from Fear the Sword. Mike, I have a lot of folks who send me emails, and they say, why are we not seeing Ante Zizic, and we are seeing Tristan Thompson? And Tristan, since he's been back three games, is averaging 11 rebounds a game. 10 rebounds, 10 rebounds, 13 rebounds. And Ante's not played. Can that work? Do you like Tristan in there and not Ante? Ante obviously gives you a different look offensively and helps keep things moving a little bit more.
Right. I think that, as you say, one of the biggest things that we've seen from Tristan Thompson since his return from the most recent injury has been his rebounding. I think that he's been pretty excellent on the glass for a team that's struggled somewhat to clear the defensive boards. Part of that's been Jeff Green at center. With him at center, opponents are rebounding 32% of their missed shots, which would be the worst rate in the league in terms of defensive rebounding. With Larry Nance at center and LeBron at the four, when Kevin Love was out, the team was struggling to rebound as well. They dropped to 25th in defensive rebounding over that period of time. So I think that Tristan coming off the bench as a big man could have an impact more on the defensive glass than he would as a starter. I don't really mind him in that kind of 15 minutes a game role. I know that we saw Ante Zizic play fairly well in his time when Tristan Thompson was out, but I think that moving into the playoffs, Zizic is a guy who's not as mobile defending the pick and roll. I think that teams can kind of exploit him in that area, and I think that you're going to trust Tristan's playoff experience over Zizic in terms of, you know, being that bench big when the playoffs come around. But I think that Thompson probably slotting into a role that sees him playing 15 to 18 minutes a game potentially in the playoffs seems about right to me.
Mike, as I'm just reading some of your stuff on Fear the Sword, I thought it was really interesting when I got to the Jordan Clarkson grid that you have about the way he takes three-point shots. And just your whole metrics there is amazing to me, based on what you've said, and you've done the stats on this, that if Clarkson's got the ball and he's open outside that three-point arc, you better get him the ball. 59%, 58% shooter from three-point. Just tell me how you came up with these grids and this whole metrics, because I think it's awesome. I mean, I'm looking at this, and now every time I see Clarkson's going to be wide open for a three, I'm going to be screaming, get him the ball.
Yeah, I think that Jordan Clarkson, if you watch him take jump shots, he's a guy who jumps forward much further than the average NBA player. I'm not exactly sure, you know, where that comes from or why that is, but I think that it's clear that if he's a wide-open shooter, he's going to have the room that he needs to jump forward on that shot and land comfortably. And we're seeing that in his percentages. I mean, he's 43% as a wide-open three-point shooter in his career. That's ticked up even more playing alongside LeBron James, as you said. So I think that, you know, when Clarkson's covered, he doesn't have the ability to jump forward as far. And I think that a lot of times that affects his shot. You often see him putting a lot more on those shots and missing them long because he thinks that he needs more if he's not going to jump as far. And so I think that that is something that, you know, you have to focus on with Clarkson, is that he's going to be a really good wide open three-point shooter. And LeBron James, as we know, is a guy who's going to be able to get players wide open jump shots. And I think that, you know, Clarkson's been a 33, 34% shooter for a lot of his career, but he's up around 40% here in Cleveland. And I think that's a lot in part due to the fact that LeBron James is creating so many wide open opportunities for him.
So who makes the NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference, Mike?
I'm sticking with the Cavs. I'm certainly not going to be someone to bet against the LeBron James team coming out of the East. But I do think that there's a lot of encouraging things to look at since the trades. Obviously, the record at 10-8 isn't perfect. But you've seen so much roster turnover just in terms of the injuries that have, you know, hampered this team for such a long stretch. And, you know, now Kevin Love questionable tonight. We'll see what happens there. Obviously, Kyle Korver's still out of the lineup, as well as Jetty Osman. But, you know, if this team can get healthy going into the playoffs, I think that in the four games that Love played, you kind of see how this offense can be elite with Love at center, spacing out with LeBron James and, you know, three other shooters. I think that that's kind of a recipe to take advantage of a lot of the traditional centers, whether it's, you know, a Jonas Valanciunas from Toronto, whether it's Aron Baynes if he's playing for the Celtics. I think that those are guys who are going to struggle to guard Kevin Love out to the three-point line. And, you know, if the defense can just be good enough, and especially good enough down the stretch when it matters, I think that the offense can kind of overpower a lot of these teams and propel the Cavs to the finals.
Mike, thank you for your time. I really invite people to go to fearthesword.com, part of SB Nation, and check out that shot quality metric. It's a fascinating read. It really is. Mike, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right, sounds good. All right, thank you. Make sure you read Mike on fearthesword.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.